All right, cool. So, hey, today, 11:30 a.m. Mountain Time. Funny, Eli and I had a discussion about time zones when we were setting this up. But I got Eli here today. We're talking about automation, really, and like how to create a resource that really lasts through the test of time, especially now. I know most people are in a position where they're kind of like, man, this is the time to create things. And yes, it can be. But the best time to create something was before all this happened so that you're ready for things like this. So let's kind of welcome Eli here. I'll let him talk a little bit about himself and we can let him introduce himself a little more and we can kind of dive into it today.
So, awesome. Hey, thanks so much, Victor. It's a pleasure being here and thank you for having me come in and just hang out for a bit. This sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So my background is in automation and doing all the geeky stuff that gets forgotten quite a bit, honestly. Really, it's about follow-up. It's about building better relationships. You and I met in Atlanta in January, so we had the opportunity to hang out. And one of the big things with me is always, how do we get to meet cool people?
Yep.
That's where we got to meet. You know, my big thing is always, how do you get to meet cool people? And then what do you do with that after the fact? Why do you turn that into a long-term relationship?
Yeah. And it's funny that you say that because like a lot of what I say, I revolve around really having real conversations. And like one of my taglines on my business card that it says, it's not a good conversation unless it leads to another.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
And like, I feel like you and I almost like resonated super quick with each other just because we kind of both come from that perspective of like mm-hmm. relationships really are the foundation to business, right? Because that's what leads to it and more of it. So I love having you on here. I know we're going to dive into a lot of cool things today as much as we can. And a lot of that geeky stuff I know you and I can talk about for hours, but we won't get too into it. We'll just enough so people can understand it and get going. So I guess what would you say are some of the things, especially right now that you're seeing that people really need or have come to you for? And like, how are you really helping out with that?
Okay. Yeah. You know, it's really funny is because our business has actually been busier in the last month than it was previously. And we were busy to begin with. But one of the things that is more important, and this is the stuff that I teach my clients to begin with, is now is the time you really need to focus on those relationships. The relationships, the people that you meet, this could be everybody from, you know, somebody that you met at a local BNI or a chamber or something like that, all the way up to a conference that has 15,000 people. You need to stay in touch with them. You need to build a relationship with them long-term. And that's always been the case. But right now, what's happening is those long-term relationships are starting to come into play.
Yeah.
When, if you didn't build that to begin with, now you got some work to do, but we are at that point of now's the time, you know, build it now. Start getting out there. You know, one of the biggest things that I see is I was actually just on a call with somebody else. We were talking about how many people do you realize that you didn't realize you even, you know, were on their list. They bought something from, and all of a sudden they care about your health all of a sudden. Just in the last couple of weeks, because they're all telling you that, right? We've gotten, I mean, I've gotten no less than 300 messages about the virus that's going around, about how they care about us. And I would say easily 200 of them, I had no clue who they were. Okay.
I've gotten a few of them.
Yeah. Like, now, the great thing is it's a great way to be able to clean up your list because like all of a sudden, oh yeah, no, unsubscribe. But if those people had been staying in touch all along, I would have a totally different reaction.
Right.
And that's the key. That's what we're talking about right now.
No, absolutely. So then let's say, for example, because I've personally set up a follow-up system on my side of things for our business. And then on top of that, we have like an ongoing thing that kind of gets mismatched with what we have going on to stay relevant as well.
Right.
So where would you say most people are? I feel like most people are at one or the other, where they have either the current relevant content that they might be dripping out, but they're kind of like, they don't really know what to do. Mm-hmm. And then something that's like tried and true that they have, that's more of like a time tested. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
So quite honestly, the majority of the people that I see don't have a proven system that they've done for it. A lot of times they are thinking in the short term, and we can talk about a marketing standpoint, especially anybody who's doing online marketing. Most of the time they think of a term of a funnel, as in here's a landing page, here's the thank you page, or actually here's an upsell page, then a downsell page, and then thank you page, and one or two emails, and that's it.
Right.
That's not a funnel. That's a piece of a funnel. What you really need to be looking at is not just the pages, but the follow-up long-term. Most people's follow-up, and it's really sad, is that they're going from a hunter mentality. Hunter mentality is you go out and you kill, you eat what you kill. That's a sales mentality. That is valid. You have to have that. But here's the fun thing about this is that the other side is the farmer. So we have the hunters over here. We have the farmers over here. And the farmers are thinking long-term. Now, that's not going to feed you today by planting those seeds today, but it will down the road.
Yep.
And so I am an advocate for both. It's not an either or, it's a both. Position yourself to don't shy away from the sale. Position yourself to find the right prospects, get in front of them, show them the value, and offer them. You know, make an offer, get them to actually pull out their credit card. But then after the fact, think of long-term, stay in touch with them, not just a week, not just a month, not just a year. I'm talking for the lifetime. Yeah. I actually have a campaign for, you and I were actually talking about this. One of our clients, Arby, we actually built a system for her. And I figured out that we actually built it back in 2013. And she still is using the exact same campaign today.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think that's what we're talking about when we get to like time tested, right? It's some people can call it evergreen.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely something that it provides value to the point, and we'll touch on that in a second, but provides value enough to where it keeps people coming back and like, I want to know more.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just like something taped together or anything like that. There's a lot of thought process that goes behind it. I know like you help out a lot with that as well. What would you say are some of the things, because I hear this all the time, and I'm sure you get it too, like, well, how do I create value? And because a lot of people are like, provide value. And like, such an easy thing to say. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard for some people to really understand what it is. And I'm sure you have a definition for it. But for me, it's something that's not just consumable, but implementable. Like, you can do something with it. It's not just like, here's information, you know?
That's a great question, actually. I love that, because here's the thing with adding value. Is, like most things, we're human beings and we make it too complicated. So it's funny. I actually have a client that I'm working with right now, and we've been working on building this follow-up system. We call it the long-term nurture. The plan has been in place for 5 months, and it's taken me 5 months for me to get him to get me the content. And it was hilarious. He finally gets me the content. And all I said was, I want you to get me 5 short videos, 1 to 5 minutes max, sharing one little tip. Give me that. And it's taken 5 months to get that from him, because he keeps overthinking it. And what I'm serious is 5 little 1-minute videos, or 2, you know, go for 1 minute, plan it for 1 minute, knowing you're going to hit 5 or 6. Okay. Because we usually do that. We ramble a lot. All of us as human beings. That just a video. You could even do that go on live on Facebook, pull out your phone and just say, hey, here's something that I found's been working really good. Check it out. You know, boom, boom, boom. Just a purely content, but short nugget. And then you write an email, says, I did this video about XYZ and I thought you might find it useful. I put it on Facebook. I'd love for you to check it out and let me know what you think. And then link to the Facebook post. That's your entire email.
Yeah, I love it. Yep.
Don't make it complicated. Yep. Another great thing about value is, if you're, you know, I have some people that come to me and they're like, well, I'm kind of new on this. I don't really have a lot of content yet. Okay, great. Get what you can doing things like what I just explained. Yep. And then do you have books that you read? And most of them are, yeah. You know, very important point. If you're not a reader, you need to fix that, because, you can, you know, there's a few different cliches. One of them is leaders are readers. And another one is, if you can outlearn me, you can out earn me. Those are two of my favorites, but find simple little things. Great example that I like to use is one book that made an impact for me, The Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing book. If you're in business, you should be reading that. It's a quick read. It's only going to take you 3-4 hours if you're a slow reader like me. I am a slow reader. Okay. So yeah. You read it and then you write down 3 or 4 sentences as to why it was such a powerful book for you. And then you go in an email and say, hey there, I thought you might find this interesting. Here's a book that I read, Greatest Salesman in the World. This is why I liked it. And you got your 3 or 4 sentences. Here's a link. You link to Amazon. You say, by the way, I would love to hear what you think after you've read it. That's your entire email. Okay. It's not even your content. It's somebody else's content, mm-hmm. but you're providing value.
Yes, I absolutely. I've never done anything like that. I might actually take a note on that and start doing it. Cause I have like a stack of books that I love rereading as well.
Yep.
Like one of my favorites most recently has been, I read it. It's not that recent. It was, I finished it over the Christmas break. So it was Relentless. And it was a great book on understanding kind of when to slow down, when to keep going. But okay. Regardless of that, there was a lot of gold nuggets that I like started creating stories around. Mm-hmm. And that's how I created content. But that's interesting to just link to the book. Or would you even suggest like taking an excerpt from the book and saying like, hey, this is kind of what I got. If you want to know more, you can go get it.
No, I mean, you could if you wanted to, but don't overcomplicate it, really.
Yeah.
Literally take, like, write 3 or 4 sentences of here are the biggest things that I took from this book, or this is the one reason why I thought this was so powerful. I mean, okay. That's it, you know. And if it happens, here's another little share with this. Another book that I like to use is Go For No, Andrea Waltz and Richard Fenton. They're friends of mine. And it's kind of cool because I read the book back in 2015, I believe. The reason I actually know this was because my bookmark was Arizona Coyotes hockey team ticket stub. And okay. I found that I pulled the book out and that's what I was using as my bookmark. So that's how I knew that. But it was funny because I had actually had this book. I read it. I loved it. And somehow down the road, probably a year or so later, I actually ended up connecting with Andrea. And we've then now become friends. And it's kind of cool because we actually got to meet in person just last summer. But I have promoted her book to thousands of people that I get to share the story. I get to share the story of how I learned about it, how we became friends after the fact that we got to sit down and have coffee just last summer, you know, little bits and pieces like that. You can add a bit of your story in there if you want, but don't make it complicated. If you don't have that story, great. Write 3 sentences of why it was awesome. Stick it in the email. That's it.
That makes sense. I do like that. And I know there's a lot more to it than just kind of taking things like that and linking them out and everything like that. But so what would you say, how can someone get started really? Because other than reaching out to you and just completely having you take it over and help mm-hmm. really guide them through it, what are some steps that you would suggest to someone to really get started with something like that?
Yeah, definitely. So yes, we do. I have a program that actually goes through the details, gives you templates to work with and everything. But if you're just trying to get going and you don't have anything, make a list of 5 questions that people ask you regularly. 5 questions that they should be asking you. You take those 5 of each of those. Now you have 10 pieces of content. Start with that, create videos. Little nice. Short videos, whether you want to do them live, you can space them out over live, or you can just record them all on your phone. Doesn't have to be fancy. Do it while you're walking. In today's world, we don't need all the fancy stuff. Nobody cares. Honestly.
Yeah.
So just get it out there. If you look at some of my videos, I have some that are horrible. It's okay. The idea is that the content gets put out there, but then record those 10 videos to start with. And use that as a starting point. And then I want you to think of 5 books that you've read that you liked and 5 videos that you found on YouTube that are not yours. Those could be something like a Jim Rohn or Tony Robbins, or, you know, one of my personal favorites is Simon Sinek's Start With Why TED Talk.
Yeah.
And so and that's actually one that I use. I'll go in there and like, hey, you know, I don't know if you've heard of Simon before, but this is what he talks about. This is a video. I personally have a little bit of a story with it, because the funny thing is that some of the stuff that he talks about in that TED talk is stuff that I've been teaching for a very long time. And of all people, my mom from work had actually said, you know, they made us watch this video. You would actually probably like it. You should check it out. And so she sends me the link. I check it out and I loved it. And I've promoted that video ever since, because it goes along the same methodology, a lot of what's going on in my head. Yeah. But now I can tell that story. I can share, you know, of all people, I didn't get this from Richard Branson or Bill Gates or anything. The person who shared this particular message with me was my mom. And so now I have a story behind it. Yeah. Think of things like that. So now if you got five questions that you did a video on, things ask you, five videos on things that people should be asking you and don't, five books and five videos of other people's stuff that you got, guess what? You've got 20 pieces of content. That's 20 emails. If you put out one email a week, it's almost a year.
That is almost half a year. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. That's a very quick way to just immediately start to see that. This is what I feel when people say provide value, right there. Exactly what you just did. You just gave someone something to implement right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like 20 things that they could come up with in the next day or two, and then start to do and immediately have. And then, you know, then it comes all the techie stuff that like you and I had, like the connecting and how to drip it out and everything like that. And they can reach out to you for that. For
and there's sure. there's a lot of strategy stuff that goes around that from a bigger picture, but this is something to start with. That'll get you going right away.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, so I have one campaign that I used essentially what I gave you. And there's more to it than that, but this was kind of the starting point where I would sit down at a coffee shop for about 4 hours, once a week, once every couple of weeks. And I would sit down and I would just write emails. And I'd come up with, okay, here's the list of things I want to talk about today. And I would just write emails. And when I got them all done, I would go back and edit them and check them. Don't stop, let that creative flow work. And I would get a whole batch of them done, and then we'd put them in the system, and then get, you know, later on another batch and put them in the system. And later on, I mean, this took a couple of months to build this all out, but I have a system that now runs for 3 years.
Nice. That's fantastic. Yeah.
I don't touch it. There's a couple of things I have to go in there every once in a while, something like maybe a tool, because I'm a, you know, I do the geeky stuff. So there's plugins for WordPress and things like that I'll recommend. Maybe something changes there. I have to change some of those once in a while. But other than that, I really don't touch it. And my running joke with people is I could literally go outside and get hit by a bus today, and I'm still going to sell you stuff for 3 more years.
Okay. Nice. That's fantastic. Yeah.
So no, that's what we're thinking long term.
Yeah. That's an awesome way to start thinking about it, for sure. Definitely there's a lot more strategy to it. And like, I can speak on it as far as like creating a bubble and really kind of like a membrane for yourself. Yep. And that, it sounds like that's kind of what you've done, right? Very similar. You, for 3 years, someone's going to in your world, in your bubble for the next 3 years with that. So, but it is important to have things like that. So what would you say then? I guess kind of what's state of the union for now, I guess, for what people are saying and doing. After they've set up these, let's say 20 initial emails or 20 more emails that they can now add to the repertoire, what would be next steps?
Reach out to your connections. Reach out to the people you know. Ask them what they're doing. Just out of the blue, just message somebody, go to Facebook, message them, text them. It doesn't matter what it is. Just reach out and just say, hey, just want to check in. How you doing? What you up to?
I love that. Yeah. Cause I've actually, that's funny. Cause I've actually done that. I did that like a couple weeks ago. I was like, hey, so it was more of me just checking in on people that I've been in contact with for a few months now. And I'm just like, hey, so like, how's everything going? And I wrote, I started it with like not business wise, like personal, how's everything going? Cause I knew everything was kind of like, even though a lot of us, like for you, for example, you and me, we've been in a position to where a majority of our business is done online. So we've probably seen an uptick in business where some people haven't, they, you know, the opposite.
Yeah, I've been going crazy.
Like we're still all feeling the effects of this. Like I still can't necessarily, I'm still quarantined. Like, even though I'm normally like that, but I'm still like, there's like an additional mind thing that happens.
Yeah.
Where now you're told you have to stay home. There's a difference than, like, it's not a choice anymore. It's like, I kind of have to.
Yeah, you can spend most of your life. I love being home. I don't want to go anywhere. I would much rather just hang out with the dogs. Then stay home. Oh, well, now I want to go somewhere.
Exactly. So it's like, we're still kind of, definitely checking in on things. I love that. And just kind of starting that conversation, you know, like that's kind of what we originally started with. I love how this kind of come full circle here, where it's, you know, just starting the conversation. And if you haven't done that in the past, if you haven't kept in contact with these people, they would have been like, oh, I'm fine, I guess. It would have been a very short conversation, you know, compared to the, like, the long, like, really deep conversations that I have been having with people. Right. And, you know, one or two people of those, like, decided to sign on as clients, which is great. Fantastic. Yeah. That wasn't my initial intention, but it was really just to kind of check in on people, right?
That's the awesome thing about this is you go by this methodology. I like to call it a methodology, but it really is about just building relationships.
Yeah.
People buy from who they know, like, and trust. Okay. Mm-hmm. We've known that. That's been around forever. Yeah. But what does that really mean? You know, people have to get to know you before they can make a decision if they trust you or not. Once they trust you,
right,
then, well, actually, it's no like and trust. Sorry, my brain went out of order. So they have to get to know you before they can decide if they like you. Well, I was thinking ahead of myself because I have a little joke that goes with it. You know, they have to get to know you before they actually decide if they like you. And then if they like you, then they're going to trust you. Unless it's a doctor or attorney, and then they kind of bypass the like part and go right to the trust. That's why I said it out of order. So
that makes sense. That's funny.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. My brain was actually thinking that at about three sentences before I actually should have said it. That is how it works. And the cool thing about it is that by staying in front of people, you don't hide what you do. Yep. You make sure that they know what it is you do. There's no question about that, but you don't have to pitch it all the time. And the key is that by building that relationship, staying in touch with people, asking them what they need help with. It's so funny. You know, for years I had a podcast that I ran, and we had a division of our business that did this kind of stuff for people, full 100% custom work. We don't do much of that now because we've figured out a way to package it up much more efficiently for people.
Yeah.
But for years, that was a division of my company that I never advertised. Because it came, my clients, and they kept us very busy, came from, number one was referrals. Somebody we had worked with said somebody else, hey, do you know somebody? And for us specifically, we do a lot with Infusionsoft. Love it or hate it. There's a lot of people that don't like it, but we can make it do all kinds of fun stuff. And the cool thing is that people would say, I really need somebody who can help me with Infusionsoft. Do you know somebody? And they were like, you need to talk to Eli and Cindy. Definitely. Now, here's the fun thing is with my podcast is I used to have random people, but people that I would meet that would come on as guests of my show. And I literally would be meeting them on that call. You know, we'd have like an initial call initially just to make sure that they're a fit and they're not a complete psycho on, you know, when I actually put them in front of the camera. But, you know, I would actually get to know them during the call. We'd ask a lot of questions at the end. I always had this one simple question. It was like, so what is it you need help with? Is there anything I can help you with? And it was so funny because how many people would actually say, you know what I really need? Do you happen to know anybody who knows how to use Infusionsoft? I'm like, well, actually, you know, I do happen to live with somebody who is in, you know, easily in the top 5% of the world of knowing the software. We could definitely help you with that. Now, they didn't know that before they got on my show. That was not the intent of the show. There was no pitch at all on the show. Yet, we got so many clients from that alone. And it really came from one simple question. What do you need help with right now? That was the question. It wasn't, how can I help you with my services? It was just, how can I help you? Simple question, super powerful.
Absolutely. Definitely super powerful for sure. It's because it leaves it open to the interpretation of the other person receiving it, right? Because if just very similar to what you just said, if you were to add that last piece, like with my services, then it's like, oh, well, I don't know if I need them.
Yeah. But if it's really funny. I had a lot of people actually, not a lot, but there was a number of them that would be like, well, I don't think I need what you do right now. I'm like, you don't even know what I do. That's not what I asked. What I asked was, what do you actually need? And then they'd stop and they would come up with it. And I'm like, well, actually, it is what we do. Or if it wasn't, that's fine. I would connect them with somebody that I knew because I do have a lot of connections.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I turned that around to where like, hey, there you go. Go talk, you know, go talk to them. I'll do an introduction. I'll get you guys going. And then let me know how it goes. And the great thing is even some of those people years later have come back and then become clients of ours.
That's awesome. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's definitely, and I think we're starting to, what I think is going to happen, my prediction for after all of this is that we're going to really see a turn coming back to that again.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I feel like we've moved into this kind of space of like buy now. And there's like the idea of the funnel, like you mentioned earlier is yeah, exactly what most people think. They think it's like that 7-day window of like buy now, you're on my list. And then mm-hmm. if you didn't buy, then you're dead to me type of deal. You'll get content to keep getting offers.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like you mentioned needed for both. You need that initial like offer sequence to mm-hmm. help you convert the fast lane people,
right.
Like the fast swimmers, the people who are like, yeah, I want it now. I'm like the most ready. And then there's going to be like, that's probably like 15%. And something that I know you and I are familiar with is a gentleman called Dean Jackson, right? Mm-hmm. I'm a huge fan of him. And he talks about how
Dean's like, awesome.
Yeah, he talks about how like that 15% of people will buy now, but the other 85% will buy 30 days to 2 years down the road or more.
Yeah.
And that's such an enormous amount of people that if we mm-hmm. don't build relationships with, then like, what are we doing? Like that's not real business.
Well, and that's just it. You just said something really important. And what are you doing? It's not a real business to think of it from, you know, churn and burn. And that's where a lot of people are coming from. And so I work a lot with speakers, and speakers come from that aspect of they go to an event, which, you know, now we've changed that to the virtual events, but they'll go on stage, they speak. And at the end they make their offer, which is normal. There's nothing wrong with that. But if people don't buy right then and there, there's nothing. I've actually had times where I had stuff that I wanted to buy, but I wasn't ready right then for whatever reason. And, you know, back in the old days when I was completely broke and I'm like, I want it. I just don't have it in the funds right now. Or the times where I'm just like, I think this is what I want, but I need to kind of move some things around mentally, you know, not physically. I had the money that was like, is this the right thing for me right now? And the answer today wasn't yes. But I mean, I had one person where literally a week later, I was like, you know what? That is the right choice. And I chased them down in order to do it. But a lot of times people won't do that. The problem is that a lot of speakers, they'll go up and if they don't get that initial sale, there's nothing afterwards. And they, you know, don't carry business cards and they don't do, you know, they don't have any kind of follow-up process. Even if their follow-up process is an opt-in from stage, great. Okay. Text this number in and their reply is, okay, here's your PDF. And that's it. There's nothing behind the scenes to stay in touch.
Yeah.
Nothing to build that relationship to push people over the edge. And we also have to remember personality types. Even if nothing else, money is not a factor, timing is not a factor. You look at personality types, there are personality types that they have to think it through. The intellectuals have to process it and run the numbers in their heads and decide, you know, the scenarios before they can make a decision. That's just their personality type. And by not having this kind of stuff in place, you're just ignoring that kind of person. And I can say from personal experience, some of those, they may not have bought immediately, but they came back a month or 2 months later and they were some of my best clients.
Yeah. And that's something I've actually found myself. The people who take a little bit longer to like sign on, to convert, to, you know, whatever it is that you want to say there, they tend to be one of the most loyal people.
Yeah.
Just because they've taken the time to really get to know you. And like that, it's because you've allowed them to know, like, and trust you, like we mentioned earlier. Yeah, that they're the most loyal because they're just like, they're totally bought in. Yeah. Which, as I've seen a lot, I've seen some turn from like the people, the fast lane people, because they make really quick decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And usually based off of emotion first, because I feel like that's kind of like the biggest. Conversion tools like emotion, then logical, then fear.
Yeah.
Or I think like fear and logical is mixed there. But they make that decision, and then what ends up happening is they might have like buyer's remorse, and that because they haven't really gotten to know you yet, and you haven't built that trust yet. But obviously, that's a different, completely strategy of making sure that they don't feel that, and you allow them to, you know, that's a whole other topic that we can touch on. But
yeah, and I have campaigns for that too.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing is that when you know, and that is, you know, quickly saying. If somebody buys your stuff, whatever product service it is, you need to immediately squash the buyer's remorse. Show them right up front what to expect. This could be, you know, here's the emails you're going to get. Here's the login information. If you don't have the login information, here's how to get it. Here's how you get support. Here's what you can expect from me. And most importantly, here's what I expect from you. And lay that groundwork out immediately as fast as possible, because that alone will make a huge difference as to how somebody feels in that first 24 to 48 hours of signing up for whatever it is you have.
That's right. No, and I completely agree. I love that because I've bought things before where I'm like, I was like, this feels like it's the right thing right now. Mm-hmm. And then maybe like 24 to 48 hours later, I'm kind of like, I don't know if it was. And you start, because it wasn't actually handled in the way, you know, like no one thought about past that point. Like you said, and there's still people out there that will, like, it may not be fault of their own. It may just be like they haven't thought about it because they haven't needed to. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you
need to.
So it's like it's not like a want anymore. It's not a nice to have. It's like a need to have now. Yeah. So. I'm going to put this up here real quick, but I know for Eli for sure, if you definitely want to reach out to him and have him help you map this out past like 20 emails that you kind of want, that, you know, just type Eli in the comments below and we'll definitely, if I won't connect you, he'll definitely reach out. If I can't connect you in time.
And let me say something with that. If anybody wants to reach out to me, connect with me on Facebook, do a friend request with me, but do me a big favor. And this is another big nugget for you. When you do a friend request with somebody, send them a message as well. Send them the message, especially like this one, just say, you know, hey, I heard you on the show with Victor. Thanks so much. Would love to connect. Something like that. I mean, just that way it tells me where you came from and that you're a legit person instead of somebody just randomly friend requesting me, because I woke up to 10 of those this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, I get those every now and then too. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, who are these people? So yeah, I definitely agree with that for sure. But no, thanks again for coming on today. I know I'm going to wrap it up here, but there's definitely some
good pleasure.
And if anywhere else, where else can anyone reach out to you other than just messaging you?
Yeah, Facebook is the easiest way. You can also connect with me at elydelaney.com. It's elydelaney.com. Chat with me and, you know, reach out. Let's just connect. I'm a pretty easy guy to get a hold of. I love to chat with people. My mantra is to meet cool people. And, you know, if we can do that as much as possible, we can definitely become friends very quickly.
Is that it right there?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah. If you want to reach out to him, definitely go check that out. And then we can go from there. Awesome. Well, thanks again for coming on the show. I appreciate it. And then I'm happy to keep in touch.
Yes. Thank you so much, Victor. It's a pleasure. If there's anything I can do for you anytime, just reach out and let me know.
Awesome. Thanks.